morning. If you want to be moving in your devices or on your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, that's where we begin today, continuing to talk about faith. Today I want to talk about faith takes preparation. Faith takes preparation. You know, when you prepare to do something or go somewhere, you prepare. You don't just go or do. Now, maybe some of you do. How's that work out for you? When I don't prepare, there's a problem. And you see, faith is something that's not a light switch. It's not something you just flip the switch when you need it. But the truth is, life is like that. Life sometimes just flips a switch. And then the question is, then, are you prepared? Are you prepared when life flips the switch? You see, that's why faith is so important. And faith takes preparation. You don't just turn it on and turn it off. I believe the problem is many Christians try to operate that way. They try to live their faith like God is a light switch. When I need Him, I'll flip Him on. In the meantime, I'll just go about my business. And you see, sometimes and oftentimes, life flips the switch on you. And then you find yourself grappling and scrambling to try to find your faith. Doesn't work real well, does it? Well, the answer to that is no, since nobody wants to admit it. Faith takes preparation. There's a lot of things that the Bible tells us and shows us in preparation, in preparing faith. You see, what we don't realize, many of us, is you're in a fight. You're in a fight right now. It's not an option. Now, how you engage in that fight is an option. But hopefully you're engaging the fight that you're in. You're engaging it with faith. Because to succeed, to prevail in life, you need faith. And to have the faith that prevails, you have to be prepared. Faith will prepare you. But faith requires preparation. 2 Corinthians 15. King Asa had taken the throne and he was trying to clean up some messes from the past. And he was, in chapter 14, it tells us that King Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And in chapter 15, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "This is the Spirit of God who came upon Azariah. Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him." Think about that. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found. But if He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The word forsake there means abandon. So the first thing in preparation of faith is to seek him. You must be seeking him. If you want to prepare your faith for the fight that you're in and that you're going to be in until Jesus comes back, then you need to seek him. Seek him. He says, the Lord is with you while you're with him. Is he with you today? You see, he doesn't go anywhere. The Lord is with you while you're with him. He doesn't go anywhere. We're the only ones that go somewhere. We check out on him. oftentimes. But he never checks out on us. He says, verse 3, for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. When they turned to him and they sought him, he was found by them. You see, when you seek him, when you seek him with all of your heart, when you truly, sincerely seek him, you'll find him. You'll find him. And preparing your faith for the battle, you got to seek him. And when you seek him, you'll find him. Verse 8 says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and remove the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Second thing you need to do in preparation of faith is to get the idols out of your life. Remove the idols. Remove the idols. And they are vast, they are many, they vary, and they're all around us. Idols, you know, the truth is we can make an idol out of anything. So Asa removed the idols that had been established and that people had in their lives for so long. And that's what we need to do. If you want to prepare for a faith that's strong, and living and active, that's strong enough to face the fight that you're in, remove the idols. Because the idols are a distraction. They're a hindrance. They're an impediment to your faith. And so if you want to prepare your faith to be strong, get rid of the idols. Get rid of the idols. Verse 12. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers and all with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and trumpets and rams and horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. They entered into a covenant, an agreement. The third thing you need to do to prepare your faith for the fight is to make a commitment. Make a commitment. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Commit to make him first in your life. Preparation requires commitment. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and minds. And whoever would not seek the Lord of God of Israel was to be put to death. I was talking with the elders in our elders' meeting this past week, and we decided we're going to implement that here. So you need to seek the Lord. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? But you know the truth is, when you don't seek the Lord, when you're not committed to him, when you don't make a commitment to him, in essence, you're bringing death into your life. It's called spiritual death. It's called spiritual death. Seek him, get rid of the idols, commit yourself to him. In chapter 19, Second Chronicles. In verse 7, now therefore let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. Verse 9, and he commanded him, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. The next thing you need to do to prepare your faith is you need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. That is respect. You need to have respect for the Lord. You know, sometimes I think, you know, we just kind of take things for granted. We take Him for granted. And we don't have, you know, the word fear there means respect. God does not want us to be afraid of Him, but He wants us to have a fearful respect for Him. And too often, I think we, you know, and it's, maybe it's human nature, I don't know. I see it in a lot of churches. You know, you come together in a church service and you watch some of the church services and you think, well, is this a church service or worship service or is this a concert? Or sometimes when prayer is going on up here, there's loud conversations going on back there in the cafe. Now, nobody means any harm by that, but you think about that. Someone up here is praying in a service, and we got conversations going on back there in the cafe. That's not fearful respect for the Lord. That's not. You see, you might say that's very subtle, but it's very real. It's very real. And so to prepare your faith for the fight that you're in and you're going to continue to be in, you need to have a healthy, fearful respect for the Lord. Verse 10, whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against the law or commandments, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you, you and your brethren. Warn them. Do you know what this book does? This book gives us principles to live by. It's not a rule book. It's a life book. But you know what it gives us? It gives us warnings. And so the next thing you need to do to prepare your faith is you need to heed the warnings when they come. God will send you warnings. God will send you warnings. You need to heed them. That means pay attention to them. You know, sometimes we get off track or we're not headed in the right direction we're supposed to be, or maybe we're just a little. And God will send a warning to you. It may come through His Word. Hopefully, if you're in the Word, it'll come through His Word. It'll speak to you. It'll come from another person that He'll send to you, or a sign that He'll give you. To prepare your faith for the long haul, you need to heed God's warnings when they come. Pay attention to them. They're for your benefit. They're for our health and welfare spiritually. It's for our spiritual benefit. It's, you know, sometimes we think of this, we don't think of this as life and death, but it is life and death. Why do I say it's life and death? Because the enemy, Jesus said the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't think He's seeking to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy your life, then you're living in a bubble or la-la land somewhere. Because when you read God's Word, you'll know that's exactly what the enemy wants. And so you need to heed the warnings when they come. And God will send you warnings. You know, when Cain and Abel, when that whole thing was going on, God warned him. He said, the enemy is at your doorstep. Don't let him in. And of course, we know he did. He killed his brother. You see, he'll give you warnings. He'll say, hey, you know, in your spirit, this is not right. Hey, you're going in the wrong direction. Heed the warnings. That's part of preparing your faith for the long haul. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was continuing doing things right in the Lord's eyes, and he was honoring God. And just like now, the enemy then was trying to kill and destroy the things of God and the people of God. And so these armies, many, many armies were gathering together to come and to attack Jehoshaphat. In verse 2 of chapter 20, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in the Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. See, there's things we've already covered there in that preparation, seeking him, fearing him, getting in his presence. You need to prepare your faith for the long haul. You need to do some fasting and praying. You need to fast and pray. There's times that's the only thing that'll do is fasting and prayer. Jesus told his disciples, some of these things only come out by prayer and fasting. And there's going to be some things you're going to face in your life that you're only going to be able to deal with that's going to require prayer and fasting. You see, that's why the title of this message, this series, is No Easy Faith. It's not easy. Prayer and fasting takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. But it's the kind of preparation that's going to gear up your faith to carry you, to be strong in the face of what you're going to face. Praying and fasting is preparing your faith for the long haul. Listen, there's no easy faith. Faith is work. Faith is time. Faith is effort. Faith is sacrifice. Faith is commitment. Faith is all of those things. Prepare your faith. It takes preparation. In verse 9 of chapter 20, he says, if disaster comes, they spoke, they were fasting and praying. And he says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in the temple, and we'll cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Stay in his presence. To prepare your faith for the long haul, you got to stay in his presence. And you got to keep your eyes on him. We will stand before this temple and in your presence. And verse 12 says, O God, will you judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. You know, when you face things in life, the first thing the enemy wants to do is get your eyes on the thing, on him, and off of God. Keep your eyes on him. You got to stay in his presence to prepare your faith for the long haul, and you got to keep your eyes on him no matter what. Things are going to come. Things are going to go sideways. Diagnoses are going to come. Things in the road are going to take a twist. But you've got to stay in his presence. You've got to keep your eyes on him to prepare your faith for the long haul. John chapter 15. It's a familiar verse for many, but it's taken awful lightly. John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The word abide means remain. Faith takes preparation, and to prepare your faith, you have to remain in him. You have to stay connected. There's, I don't know how many times you go through these first 8 or 12 verses, 10 or 12 verses in John 15. Abide, abide, abide. He says it over and over again. And Jesus is speaking. So it's coming directly from the horse's mouth, right from the source. And he says, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. You want to prepare your faith for the long haul? Stay connected. Remain in him. Don't get off. That's why idols have to go. Because you know what idols do? They get you off track. They get you to stop remaining in him and distracted and distorted in another way, another place. Remain in him. Preparation requires that we remain in him. When Moses had died, God was putting Joshua in charge to lead the people into the promised land. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord said to him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. God was telling Joshua how to prepare his faith for what they were about to do, what they were about to encounter, what they were about to embark on. And so you want to prepare your faith? This really ought to be number one, but it's meditate in and obey the word. You see, he says, he didn't say meditate on it. He said meditate in it day and night. Day and night. Do you know what that means? Constantly, continually. Meditate in the word. Meditate in the word. But if you just meditate in the word and you don't apply it, then it's worthless. You see, he was careful to instruct Joshua not only to meditate in it, but observe to do according to all that's in it. In other words, apply it to your life, Joshua. Don't just meditate in it, do it. And that's how you prepare your faith. You cannot prepare your faith any better way than to meditate in his word and apply it to your life. You want to see your faith grow? You know, I hear people all the time, I wish I had faith like him, or I wish I had faith like her. Well, get it. It's available. Get it. Meditate in it and then apply it to your life. And you watch your faith grow. You know, I hear people say all the time, gosh, this person has faith. I wish I had that kind of faith, or I don't know if that. Then get prepared. Prepare your faith. prepare your faith. Meditate in the word and apply it to your life. Galatians 2:20. It's kind of wraps all these things up of preparing your faith. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number 10, preparing your faith. Die to self every day. You want to prepare your faith? When your feet hit the floor in the morning, die to self. First thing, die to self. And you know what? It'd be nice if we could just die to self one time, wouldn't it? Doesn't work. We have to die to self every day. You want to prepare your faith? You want to grow in your faith? Die to self. When you die to self, it'll be easier to get rid of those idols. When you die to self, it'll be easier to commit to Him. When you die to self, you'll have a desire to meditate in the Word and apply it to your life. Die to self every day. You see, because when we die to self, self just doesn't stay dead. Self wants to live again. And as soon as you die to yourself, it won't be long before, as you go through your day or you go through your week, the self's going to say, I'm back. Hey, I want. You see, you got to die to self every day. Faith takes preparation. Preparation. Think of the word preparation. I mean, think about it. I mean, you do some preparation when you get ready to come to church. I hope you bathe and put some deodorant on and prepare to come in here. But do you prepare your body, but do you prepare your mind and your spirit to come to church? Do you prepare your mind and your spirit to come to church? Or is it just a routine? I'm going to get up, shower, shave, get dressed, going to church, going to see some people there I know, going to sing some songs, going to hear the pastor preach. But have you prepared to hear from God when you get here? You see, it's easy to get in the vehicle and go to church. But have you prepared your heart to receive? To receive. What is your mindset when you come to church? Are you checking out the lights? You're checking out the AC? Are you checking out the donuts? Checking out the seats to see who's sitting in my seat? You see, we need to prepare our hearts to come to a worship service. God said so often, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, faith takes preparation. Faith, you need to prepare. You have to prepare your faith to receive from Him. You have to come in here believing I believe God's going to have a word for me today. I'm preparing right now my heart, the ears and eyes of my heart, to hear and to see what He's got for me today. That's why I'm going to church, because I believe he's going to have a word for me. You know, we were in our team gathering before the service, and little Jackson was in there with us, and he was just walked around and cooing and kind of praying with us, and as we were praying, different ones were praying, and he's walking around. It was kind of neat. I was watching him, had his little hand up, and he was watching around. And then he came over, and he has his fascination with shoes, and he squatted in front of me, and he started patting on my shoes. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what God wants us to do to him. He wants us to just come and put our hands on his feet and just sit there and just at his feet and hear from him with a childlike faith. Childlike faith. Prepare. Prepare to receive. Prepare when you come to church. Be prepared so that your faith will grow from God's word. That the Holy Spirit can speak to you even while the word's being spoken. The Holy Spirit will prompt something in you that increases your faith. Faith takes preparation. Worship team, would you come up? Are you getting prepared? Are you preparing your faith? You see, you may not know it, you may not realize it, but you're in a fight. All of us are in a fight. It's a fight for our spiritual lives. It's a fight for eternity. It's a fight to pursue and to persevere in life with God. You want your faith to grow? Prepare. Prepare. Commit yourself. Get rid of your idols. Get in his presence. Remain in his presence. Fast. Pray. And meditate in his word and apply it to your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. It's light. It's life. I thank you that your word never returns void, but always accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. And I pray today, Lord, that your word, as it's been spoken and given, that it's been received with open hearts, with open eyes. God, help us to prepare every day to walk with you, to be with you, to sense your presence in our lives. To be prepared for what comes next. There's always something coming. You have more for us. God, help us to prepare to receive all that you have for us. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. God, help us to prepare our hearts and our minds, prepare our faith to enjoy the abundance of what you have for us in our spiritual lives. In Jesus' name, amen.